All right, everybody, do we still, we are in chapter 8 of the Basic Doctrines of Salvation and Reconciliation. Any other question sheets? Do we have any, do you need a chapter 8? Do you need?
Throw one back there.
And do you need one back? Crystal, yeah. Oh. I wouldn't get too close to him. I'd just kind of a personal observation. Yeah, there's some more back there. Or do I have... Oh, here we go. All right. First of all, because a couple have actually asked for it, and I like it too, we're going to quickly... Where's my daughter? There she is. Quickly. She loves my quicklies, which usually ends up to be 5 or 10 minutes, and see, it's much too much on the review. Quickly, let's go through some of the terms and that we've already gone through. Repentance. What does repentance mean? Anybody. Everybody. One person.
To change your mind.
Yes, to have another mind, a change of mind. What does conversion mean?
Turn.
To turn or return. It's different in from repentance in that it is not necessarily a change of mind. Okay? What does regeneration mean? Regeneration. Stumped him. Yeah, again, creation or again, birth. Yeah, it's rebirth or new birth, new creation, regeneration, something completely new. What does redemption mean?
Purchase.
To buy back or purchase. Right. Justification. To be declared righteous. Yeah, to be declared. And who does that justification for us? Do we declare it? No, God declares it. So He declares us to be righteous. What's that? Yeah. You know, the more and more we study all these terms and everything, I'll get into it a little bit too. You know, I was getting back a little bit more into the Greek a little bit today and looking at the mood, the tense, the different things. And I'm still amazed at how many times it is passive. You know, we are having things done on us. We do nothing. It's God doing the work. It's God providing the action. And, it is very little that we are required to do. We get into all the commands, the logical commands that we're supposed to do. And that's just logical that if you are a new creature in Christ, you should do this. It's not a moral. If you do this, here are the consequences. So there are lots of things we're to do, but that's just an outcome of who we are in Christ. So, but as far as what we are required to do, really there's only one thing. And what is that?
Believe.
Believe. Believe in what God's Word says. And the more we study all these with these words and terms, most of them have very little with what we are doing or what we're to do. What does forgiveness mean? Da 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 da. Forgiveness. Somebody take a crack at it. Come on. Be brave.
Pardon or deliverance.
Right. Good. To release from bondage or imprisonment, pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. So it's a complete removal or pardon of sins. So forgiveness. And hopefully you'll know what the last one is. Assurance. We had that last week. Assurance. Yeah, no, this is not a good thing. Maybe I shouldn't have asked that question. Never mind that one. Assurance. It's another word for it. Confidence. confidence. A confidence that the right relations exist between oneself and God. It's that confidence. Remember that we don't have to worry. You know, I think last week I kind of, which I usually don't do, raise your hand if you've ever thought that about, you know, you ever had that doubt. You know, have you ever had the doubt that you and many have expressed it, you know, when you woke up and nobody was in the house? Just that little uncomfortable feeling that you got? You know, and that nobody told you that they were all leaving to go get coffee or something, and you just suddenly have that. Don't have that assurance. We have the assurance. They're just out for coffee. Remember that. If the Lord comes, He's taking you. If you are one of His, there's no question. No question. And, you know, the ones, you know, my anchor verse for so long had been, you know, John 10:28. You know, who can get me out of God's hands? Look at that verse. And it, nobody, no one, no how, no where, nothing can get me out of God's hands. So once you're in God's hands, I can't climb out of it. Nobody can take me out of it. I'm there. So when you wake up and nobody's in the house, get in the car, go find where they had coffee, because you're not left behind. And everybody has that. I mean, it was kind of interesting, because I think every one of us at some point in our Christian walk has that doubt that, you know, am I really good enough for this? Did I kind of, you know, yesterday I was kind of bad. Maybe God just frowned on me, and this is the day He was taking everybody away, and He was a little chapped at me, left me. You know, there's that doubt that people have, and the more you in your spiritual walk and maturity, you just have that assurance that there is nothing. You know, just kind of what Norm said at the beginning. What do we have to do? Very, very little. Just believe. So we don't have to do the spiritual push-ups. We don't have to do all this, or the fear of being left behind, or the fear that the Lord just really isn't going to love me, you know, like He did last week. You know, that was the other verses in Romans where, you know, who is able to separate us from the love of God? Remember the whole list? You know, I don't think there are any loopholes in there. Who can separate you from the love of God? Nobody, no how, no way. And John 10:28, can't get out of His hands. You can't be separated from His love. What are you worrying about? You know, for you, probably the older generation, the Mad Magazine. Remember Alfred E. Newman? What me worry? You know, that should be our attitude. Why worry? We have the assurance. We have the assurance. So, and today's topic is reconciliation. Anybody want to take a crack at that right off the bat, and then I'll give you all the Websters and the Greek and everybody. Reconciliation. What does it mean? Change. Yeah, to change thoroughly from. Okay, Webster has it this way. I was like, go to Webster's for the first definition. Webster's, the three definitions that they had was to cause to be friendly or harmonious again. Second one is adjust or settle differences. Third, to bring to submission or acceptance. What do you think of those? I think they weren't bad, actually, for this one. It really wasn't too bad. You know, it was last week when we had assurance, it was self-confidence. Not, you know, it's confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves. Where this one actually wasn't too bad, to cause or be friendly, it's thoroughly changed from. Okay, it's a reconciliation. Now I'm really nervous now with Craig in here going over the Greek. my pronunciations, all that, I apologize for in advance. The two Greek words, well, two of the Greek words, there are four of them that are in the verses that have reconciliation, but the two ones I looked at were katalasso, which means to change, exchange of persons, to change mutually, and that's in the Romans 5:10 verse. Somebody want to read that one, actually, 5:10 and 11, Romans 5:10 and 11. Who's got that? Anybody? Dave, you got that, or you? Or no. Who's up with that? Wayne?
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more.
Yeah, go through.
More being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Okay, the word in there for reconciliation is a katalasso. And the interesting part about that again is, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The reconciled in there, and I don't know if everybody has their fine Greek cheat sheet still. It's aorist, passive, indicative. Okay, aorist, what does that mean? You've lost all those cheat sheets. I've got to print them up again. We're going to staple them to the inside
past
of your book.
Completed
past completed action. Past completed action. It's done already. It's done. Not being done. Not gonna be done. It is done. So, past completed action. Passive. So, we are the ones being talked about in here. So, it's passive. What does that mean? It's being done to us. We're not reconciling. We're being reconciled. Okay, again, it's the direction of this. Again, reconciled. It's God is the one who is reconciling. We aren't reconciling to God. And then the last is indicative.
Fact.
Done. No discussion. So, past completed action. God's the one who did it to us. Action not required by us. Indicative. It's a fact. No question. It's not any doubt about it. So, what me worry? Why worry? Okay. The other one is apokatalasso. Sorry, Craig. And that means to reconcile completely. And somebody, can they look up Colossians 1, 19 and 20? Brought this up just for a different direction.
Colossians
1, 19 and 20.
For peace the power that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, when it shall all things in himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven.
Okay, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Okay, this reconciliation is aorist, active, infinitive. Okay, so aorist we know. What does that mean? Oh, come on. Short-term memory problems here? Past completed action. Thank you. Next one is active. What does that mean? Subject. Who's the subject of this one? For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Who is the one providing the action? Huh? Right. God. It was God's pleasure to do this. So it's a little flip on the reconciliation. It is now explaining at this one that God is the one doing it. So it is God reconciling all things to himself. So it's an active form in the Greek. I don't know, was it mood, tense, verb? I don't know. It's voice. Okay, so God is doing it. And then the infinitive. What does that mean? You have the cheat sheets.
Statement of purpose.
This is his purpose, to reconcile. That was his purpose. So, it's a past completed action. He did it. And who did it? God. And it was his purpose. Okay, it was the statement of purpose. This is what he wanted to do. Okay, so the reconciliation is all from God. Let's go on here because I think I get into some of that a little later. In number two, distinguish between reconciliation, repentance, and conversion. We've kind of gone through all those. What does repentance mean? The definition?
Change of mind.
Conversion? Turn or change of direction. And reconciliation. Are you just shading yourself from the fan, or is it?
Reconciliation is God to us. Repentance and conversion are how it affects us, our reaction to this.
Yeah, it's a change wrought in the heart is the three different ways. I like the way Marchbanks actually put it. He had a good portion there. Whereas repentance presents the change of mind which the sinner has about himself and about God when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And conversion pictures the change of direction, which comes when the believing sinner turns toward God. Reconciliation shows us the change which is wrought in the heart, by which the heart which feared now has peace. Okay, so basically we have that peace. We don't have the fear. We have been reconciled. We are reconciled to God. God has reconciled us to Himself. It's okay. We have been. He has a change of heart for us. And why is that? Because of what Christ did. He now looks at us. It's differently. I mean, He still has love, but it's now through Christ the reconciliation can be made. The change of heart. By that, a lot of quizzical looks out there.
You mean that God changes?
No, God does not change. He always has the same love. But it appears to be that way, and we'll get into that in a little bit later. God does not change. But it appears to be a change, but it's only through the work of Christ. That's what the change is. We'll get into that a little bit later. So no, God doesn't change, but it's a change of heart because of what Christ has done. He now looks at us through Christ. That's how we are now reconciled to Him because of Christ's action on the cross. Okay? Number three, does God Himself need to be reconciled to man? Yes? No. No. No change is ever needed on God's part. God needed to be propitiated, but not reconciled. Okay? So, yeah. Again, I like the way Marchbanks puts this too. No change need be wrought in his heart insofar as his love to sinners is concerned. While his heart is necessarily filled with wrath against all sin, it is also filled with mercy, compassion, and love for the sinner. The death and resurrection of Christ at the same time reconciled sinners and propitiated God. Okay? Somebody look up Romans 5:8. Right. So, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Again, the love, the compassion, the mercy, but sin had to be paid for. So, there's no reconciliation, but there is, which Mike will be teaching next week, propitiation. There needed to be payment for those sins. So again, God never has to be, God doesn't have to be reconciled to man. Okay? Doesn't have to be a change of heart that way. Where is the change to take place in man? In the mind?
It's a change of heart, right?
Heart. Change of heart. That's where it is. And that, you know, what is a good definition of the heart? We talk about it a lot. We've been talking about change of heart. Thump, 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 thump. Thoughts?
It's more than a change of mind.
Right.
It also involves activity by your will.
So what is the heart?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. I had struggled with this after I did all this change of heart.
Who we are.
That's the best definition I came up with. That was what I came. It's our essence of who we are. That's kind of where the will, all those things come out. That's, you know, the core of who I am. Because, I mean, my mind is thought, reason, logic, all that. But that's based on, at least in mind, who I am. You know, and how I am and think and feel. And that's who the heart is, at least in mind. I mean, that's why I kind of brought it up. I was struggling with trying to find a good definition. Because we say a change of heart. Well, change of heart, you know, Jarvik, now I have a mechanical heart in here, you know.
Change
has got to
be the new creation.
Yeah, because the old man. Exactly. Go ahead.
Old heart. So it's got to be something totally new, not remade.
Yeah, and I think that it's got to be in the new man, because remember when we were in the identification class, what was the old man? Name the good qualities of the old man. The good qualities. We can take the next 10 minutes. What?
He's dead.
Dead. That's the best. There we go. There we go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, there aren't, you know, so does the old man heart able to reconcile or to have this change of heart? No. He's desperately wicked, always against God. So I think it has to be the new creation and that change of heart. Where and again, the change of heart being the new creation, the new creation, who I am in Christ. We kind of been going through this a little bit on Tuesday with not much resolve, may I ask. And you actually were the biggest. You started it, Ben back there. He's got a wry smile on his face knowing that he's tormented me ever since, 2 weeks ago Tuesday or something. Because Hal had a drawing at one point, you know, and there's a little switch between the old man and the new man. The old man... The new man. Okay? Who flips the switch? Now you're all confused, aren't you? You're all going to be thinking about this. But that's a good thing. You know, who makes a switch between eyes focused or following the old man versus the new man? You know, Hal had that great drawing. It's like, you know, a switch that goes between the new man and which one of you, you know, because we have two natures. The old man is not dead. We're not in subject to him. We're not in bondage to him. But he's still alive. So we have two natures. Who decides which one we're following?
Motion sensor.
Yeah.
I think there's a question before that. And the question is, as a non-believer, when you're presented with the gospel, does the old man believe in his heart? Like Romans 10 says, a man will believe in his heart.
And that therein lies probably the question between election and free will. Yeah. Because how can the old man ever make a decision to accept Christ as a Savior? My theory on that is that the Holy Spirit's working on you, and it becomes a point where it's a choice, but it's not really a choice. You've come to a place where it's just so evident that your need for a Savior that you make that choice, even in the old man. But because this is all, boy, this has really opened up a can of worms today. Election versus free will. You know, are we all picked before the beginning of time, or do we Holy Spirit work on us and we have a choice. Yeah, well, and see,
a man was created with the ability to know that there is a God.
Yes. That's a good point, and that's what I...
It's really the rejection of that.
Right, and you get to Romans 1, and Romans 1, where and all men know that there is a God, and they're without excuse. And that's where I think, too, that there is a knowledge of that. And I think the Holy Spirit works in such a way that you're brought to a point where it's so evident, you either finally reject Him or you accept and you believe. Or believe. And, you know, the foreknowledge, the way now, when I've looked at it since then, you know, because that was hard to reconcile, especially in Ephesians. You kind of had both, you know, things that kind of leaned towards a choice, and then you had foreknowledge and all this. All the foreknowledges and all the different things are when you're in Christ. I've gone through, I think we're in the identification class, I went through this, and it was in Ephesians that finally kind of, to me, it clicked on the foreknowledge and all that. Once you're in Christ, everything that's true about Christ is true about you, except for deity. So, once you're in Him, you go as far back as He does, and as far you go as far in the future, eternal. So the foreknowledge, predestination, is all after we're in Christ. Then we have the eternality of Christ. So He knew us. Because God knew Christ from eternity past, and once we're in Him, He's known us from eternity past.
So that brings you up to the second question is, as a believer with two natures abiding in the flesh, who makes the decision to be restored to fellowship?
Didn't we talk about that? Yeah. A couple weeks ago, and isn't the Calvinist belief that you have to be, God somehow regenerates you so that it's actually the new man that actually makes that
decision? True.
Yeah.
Because the old man cannot do anything good, and that would be a good act, I guess.
But.
That's true. He means that's true from the Calvinist point of view.
Yeah. You know, but that still begs the question then, too. If it's the new man, how can the new man choose to sin or follow the old nature? I mean, it
well, it takes the free will out of it. I mean, it's basically...
Huh?
Because if you don't believe, you're still held accountable, so...
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I don't mean to...
unbeliever doesn't have an old nature yet. So.
Right. But I'm saying a new creation. We all sin still.
You do.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. So, you know, and I don't mean to say, well, I should cut this off, because we couldn't solve it on Tuesday either. It really kind of, Ben brought it up, and it was like, wow, I never thought about that. Who really makes that decision? And I kind of goes to, I think, the heart. Essentially, who I am. And who am I following? You know, that's kind of as close as I came to some logical answer for myself. It's that heart. It's the who I am that's going to step into eternity without the old and all the other things associated with Adam, but linked to the new creation, the essence of who I am. Yeah.
I think it's always the new man. And the reason I say that is Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. That I is the new man.
Yeah.
Who recognizes what happened to him on the cross, that he was crucified. And so when a believer who's functioning out of the flesh is restored to fellowship, he's restored along those bases, that he understands and believes that he was crucified, and that's what the reality is. And that's who he really is, even though he's been functioning inconsistent with who God and the Word says he is. So it's the new man, and like you say, who are you now? You're a new creature in Christ, and so that's what the reality is. That's what the truth is, and that's the person that functions makes a, if you want to say it's a decision.
Yeah.
But it's a recognition of the truth and a belief in the truth that restores him.
Yeah. I don't have, you know, all that, but can the new man shift left and go and function in Adam?
Well, if you look at the temptations in James, the temptation is always designed to get you to leave your position in Christ to satisfy the desires of the flesh, which are still there.
Yeah. It's just ponder that for a while, and I think it really does boil down to the heart. I think that's who we are, the essence. And the two natures are somewhat kind of below that, and the spiritual maturity and walk is our who we are, forming more to the new man. Our maturity is forming with the new man, growing with the new man. So there is less of the heart choosing Adam or the man, you know, the old man. And I think the maturity is that new creature, the new man, growing and the essence or the heart becoming more of the new creation.
I think of Peter walking out there in the storm, you know, as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but can the new creation take his eyes off Christ? I guess that's the question at hand. I think, you know, they can through, I say, is maybe the heart that says, okay, or I mean, the essence of who I am, I'm going to, you know.
I don't think we need to. I mean, I think we have to bring the Holy Spirit into us. And He's always revealing Christ to us. And so, I mean, as far as our faith, and it's just a little bit of just believing what God says.
Right.
Which the Holy Spirit does play a part in that.
Oh yeah, He does it all. I mean, He's the one convicting us and working the Word into our life. So I think that is. I think a lot of this has to do with our spiritual maturity and our walk, our growth in Christ. I think it is, because as you grow in Christ, the old man tends not to be as big a factor as a new believer. I mean, a new believer's kind of, you know, doesn't know the Word as well. Very on fire, is apt to be blown left or right. But as you grow in Christ, I think you're apt to function in the new man much more than the old man. And I think that's where maturity is, as you grow into the new man.
Could it be a matter of experimentation with your heart? Because as I'm listening, I'm feeling more about Christ in us, whereas it's...
Yeah, we're in Christ. So we're in Him.
He doesn't expand to the,
yeah, that's the growth. I think that, I mean, we're growing in Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's right. If I said that wrong, we're in Him. It's not Him in us.
Which He's infinite, so.
Right.
The joy of that is that one day we won't have to worry about that.
Yeah. See, that that's at my biggest thing is once I shirk this shell, I don't care. It's all gone. You know, no old man to drag me down, nothing. You know, we're in His presence, you know, in our position. And we have that position right now. That's the other thing. Is our position is, you know, seated with Him. You know, a lot of the identification, what are those truths? Remember the 34 truths that we learned? You know, we're seated with Him. We're blah, blah, you know, all the things positionally that we have. That's what we have right now. You know, and when we step into eternity, you know, our condition becomes our position. Fantastic. You know. Yeah. Yep. You know, knows them all. All right. I'm sorry, I rabbit trailed that one, and it was just a big question we had on Tuesday. I blame it on Ben. Where are we? 5. Does reconciliation come because man desires this thorough change? No. God Himself took the initiative. Remember in our identification class what our condition in Adam was? Bad. Nothing. Nothing good. We would never take the initiative to change our hearts towards God. We would never do that. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. And you know, it, and the reconciliation part is God reconciling not us reconciling ourselves to God. Somebody, who's got, you want to look, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Craig, you want to do that one?
Yes, sir.
And then, yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Again, who's doing it?
That'd be God.
God. God who reconciled. So, it doesn't say because man suddenly saw the light and decided to be reconciled to God. It isn't man suddenly had a change of heart and he decided to be reconciled to God. God reconciles man to himself. Okay, again, starting off what Norm said, what do we have in this? What is our part? Very little. Just believe. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 20, there are three changes spoken of. What are they? Since you're there, Craig, you want to read, just go through 17 through 21.
All right, backing up. All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Okay, the first change is in verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. What is that? What kind of change is that?
Thorough.
What?
Thorough.
Yeah. Positional. Structural. We're new creatures. We are completely new. It's a positional truth. A positional change. We are new creatures. Not rehab, not fixed up, no new paint, clothes on. No, we are new, completely new.
I would say, from God's perspective, is where the change takes place. God doesn't see us in Adam anymore; He only sees us in Christ.
In Christ, you know. The more you look at Scripture, the more all these wonderful truths usually have in Him, in Christ, in Him, in Christ. All that we have is in Christ. So, and what Mike says is true. God doesn't see us in Adam anymore. He sees us in Christ. So that's who He sees us in. So we are new. We are new creatures. Completely new. Again, that's the death, burial, and resurrection. There's the co-crucifixion on the cross of the old man. New creatures now. And you know, we get away from, you know, I think Mike irritates people by, you know, are there saved sinners, you know? No, they're dead sinners. Dead, crucified, but not saved. It's not Adam with an extreme makeover. It is a dead Adam, a crucified Adam, and a new creature in Christ. So, first is positional. In verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what is that a form of? First was positional. What is this one? It's a change of what?
Relationship.
Completely new relationship. Reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against themselves, Okay? It's a new relationship. He has reconciled us to himself. So he and this again, when we get into it, it sounds like it's maybe a change of heart by God, but it's not. He now sees us, as Mike says, not in Adam, but he sees us in Christ. In Adam, he sees us with sin and everything that we have in Adam. In Christ, he sees us in Christ, and the mercy, the compassion, everything, the love, all that is poured out upon us through this reconciliation while we're in Christ. The third change is in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg on your behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is a little bit different. This one may not be as apparent, but the third change is a mental attitude, or the trust of the individual heart when one sees and accepts the value in the death of Christ for him. So again, it's a change of mind a little bit, or a different trust, because we're now ambassadors. We're now bringing the ministry of reconciliation to the world. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. There's other verses that say the ministry of reconciliation. So it's basically a change of our attitude. So the three different ones there. Yeah.
So back up there in verse 18, it's saying has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So how would you define that?
You know, I think that is bringing Christ to the world as ambassadors of Christ. You know, to bring reconciliation to the world is I think bringing Christ to the world. At least that's the way I interpret that, is that we are now ambassadors for Christ. We are to bring reconciliation, to bring forth the good news, the gospel. Is I think the ministry of reconciliation. Mike, did you have something?
Well, if you're an ambassador of the reconciliation, then you're the one that's to speak out what God's attitude is now about mankind, mm-hmm. and what He has done. And what his view of mankind is now based on the work of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that the sin issue has really been handled
right.
by God from his side of the ledger. And what we do as ambassadors is we entreat people to accept and believe God's position regarding mankind now because of the work of Christ.
See, and that's where I think it's really bringing the gospel.
I mean,
to me, when I thought about this, because I saw that too, and I thought, really, it's just bringing the gospel, because that's saying that God has paid the price for all sins.
See, the entire world's viewpoint of their relationship with God is that they know God is mad.
Yeah.
No matter what culture you study, there's some sort of deity, and they're doing something to appease God because
Gotta
they
do.
Know he's mad.
Right.
Well, the reconciliation is the news that God is not mad.
He's paid for.
He's been propitiated, and if you would believe in him and what he's done, you would be saved for all eternity. And that is the news that's different.
Than other religions. And other, right.
John, we're always talking about self, and that seems like a pivotal phrase there that could be a whole other issue, but that pivotal phrase right there can get you off into a self-ministry of stuff too.
It goes to motive. Are you doing it for self, or it's because who you are in Christ? You know, it again goes to the logical, you know, imperatives that come out. If you're in Christ, you'll give the gospel. It's just who you are. You want to share that because of who you are in Christ. If you're doing it because, if I go out and I go down to Larimer Square and I pick that bum up and I tell him and I put a little notch on my belt because, you know, I was a good boy today. Not anywhere. I mean, I can see where your point. You can take this and abuse it, by saying, okay, I'm now going to be the minister of reconciliation.
What kicks you back
Exactly. Perfect analogy. You go back into, okay, Adam's now saying, you got to go out and you got to go do this. You got to go witness to 30 people today, or God's going to be a little unhappy with you. You know, and wrong motive. Instead, it goes to motive or which nature you've fallen.
Yeah. I think the key word here is understanding what the word ambassador means.
Yeah.
An ambassador only speaks for the one he represents. Never speaks his own opinion.
Right.
Never gives anything other than what he's been sent to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, if, like, we have Condoleezza Rice in the Middle East. Who's she speaking for? The United States. Well, the press is always trying to get her to give her opinion.
Yeah.
An ambassador gives no opinions. An ambassador only represents who and voices what who they represent. If we're ambassadors of reconciliation, it can't, by the very definition, you can't be selfish.
Right. Well, I think it goes to motive of yours. I can say everything, you know, Christ, but the underlying motive is, if I witness to 5 people today, God will smile on me a little better. I'm still saying
that would be outside the realm of the definition of an ambassador, because you're making a decision to do something on your own. An ambassador doesn't function that way.
Well, speaking, I mean, an ambassador speaks or does, you know. So, I mean, I guess it's the underlying motive of an ambassador. I guess you can go all the way to an ambassador doesn't speak unless
he's told to speak. Told what to speak.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you could eliminate that. You good? All right. We have like 1 minute. All right. According to the author, what is the primary purpose of reconciliation? I think that's the one we're on. Number 7. What did the author say in there? Does anybody read it? According to the author, what is the primary purpose of reconciliation? Thoroughly changed. Yeah, that our heart attitude towards God Himself should be thoroughly changed from aversion and fear to trust and love. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5:15, now it is our joy and our delight to please the Lord instead of pleasing self. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Again, getting out of ourself and into serving Christ in Him. Okay. All right. Is this quickly number 8? Is this thorough change before God positional or conditional? We have positional. We have conditional. We have both. We have one both. Positional. It's positional. It is God reconciling positionally. He has now, looking at us through Christ, we are reconciled to Him. So it's a positional one. Remember, if we have anything to do with it, it swings to the conditional side. So when we talk about there's nothing we can do about it, that typically gives me the thought that it's a positional truth. If we have something to do with it, or we have some way to vacillate, then it's a more conditional. Was that was the second one? Is that the second bell? I think so. All right. Well, any questions, ask later. And sorry to get you on the rabbit trail that we got in on Tuesday. All right, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we are reconciled to You. And we know that it is nothing of ourselves. It is all through Christ, who has paid the price for us, who we now enjoy in a relationship as a new creature in Christ. And Father, we just thank You again for that thought, that You see us not in Adam now, but You see us in Christ. And we just thank You again for just Your love, Your grace, Your mercy demonstrated and shown to us day by day, moment by moment, as we are in Christ. And Father, we just commit the remainder of this day to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.